Welcome to Word on the Street, a weekly podcast from Barclays where our experts help ordinary investors make sense of the latest news and events impacting the world's financial markets.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Word on the Street. This week I'm joined by Francis Adai, a senior investment strategist in the team, and we'll be focusing on looking at the UK market and the UK economy. So with that in mind, Francis, what has been the main theme on investors' minds lately?
Thank you, Sophie. I think over the last maybe week or two, the main thing that's been floating around markets in terms of narrative really is US inflation surprising to the upside. So, if we look at the last 3 months in particular, each time consumer price inflation has come out, so the print has been higher than expectations. And usually when that tends to happen, bond yields tend to be quite responsive. So bond yields have gone up quite aggressively, which is obviously bad for bond prices. I think we should point out, first of all, on the progress that we have seen in the US and also elsewhere in the world. So inflation has come down from, double digits in 2022 now to close to 3%, which is somewhat close to what central banks want. But yeah, in the last 3 months, there has been a shift, and on balance, that shift, so those upside surprises we've seen inflation, that has lowered the US Central Bank, the Federal Reserve's confidence that inflation is on a sustainable path lower, which was one of the key targets or goals they have in order to bring down interest rates.
And kind of, I guess, with that in mind, and obviously we hit that kind of technical recession term last year, are we seeing the UK re-emerging from that economic slump?
Yes. I think the short answer is, I was going to say a convincing yes, but it's certainly a yes. So yeah, as you point out, last year there was this technical recession, just to explain what that means. So economists tend to call a technical recession when you have two quarters where economic growth, so GDP growth, is negative, which is what we saw in the last two quarters of last year. So fast forward to this year, the UK's, the Office of National Statistics, provide monthly GDP estimates, which is quite useful. And if we look at those for January and February, they've come up higher than expected. So you've seen positive surprises, which is a good thing. And it's not just that, but the initial estimates that we saw in January, they've been revised upwards. So the initial number is now higher, which again, all else equals, tells us that there is some positive momentum. So that's what I would say gives us kind of some assurance that we're going in the right direction. And then to top that up, if we look at, related economic variables such as survey in the manufacturing sector or other kind of market implied indicators that we follow closely, we tend to get a similar picture that we're seeing early signs of recovery in UK activity. And where we could get a tailwind from, in the near term, is if the Bank of England starts to reduce policy rates or interest rates. And essentially, that's great for both consumers and businesses because their cost of debt is lower. But all else equals, it also leaves consumers with a lot more spending power. And as wages in the UK are still rising at a healthy level, once policy rates starts coming down, you're bound to see more strength in consumer spending, which is quite important for economic growth.
Fab. And I guess you could use some kind of terms there in terms of kind of momentum and recovery. But kind of, I guess, do we have kind of time frame expectations that we can put on that? Or is it kind of more of a wait and see?
I think it's probably more of a wait and see. But given that the first 2 months looked quite positive, it's likely that if the March number comes in positive, then we're in the clear.
Okay, so maybe hold off and wait. And obviously, kind of, we're talking a lot about kind of the economy and the UK economy in particular. When we look at the economy, kind of what, I guess, examples can we translate to how that's impacting the stock market? And are we sort of seeing that stock market gain come through?
Yeah, so one thing maybe to touch up on is historically, all regions outside of the US have received less attention when it comes to equity investing. And the UK is no different in that respect. The reasons are fairly obvious to some extent. The US equity markets are the largest in the world. The firms have exposure to global revenues. You have a massive technology sector, which has seen some influential tailwinds through this rise in AI. So the point I'm making is, the US is obviously always the outstanding kind of market in the room, always. A common misconception with the UK is that the UK market is made up of, cyclical, very capital intensive and old economy companies. Now that's true to some extent, but if you scratch beneath the surface, you see that there is actually quite a lot to be excited about. So there are a lot of companies aligned to the global mega trends, you know, themes like digitalization, energy transition, or change demographics. And I'd say, you know, the more kind of domestically mid-sized UK firms are also trading at large discounts. Now, this is nothing new. They tend to trade at large discounts. But even in historical context, they're quite large. Now, that has gone unnoticed by a lot of investors, but there are also pockets of, you know, international corporations, private equity houses, who have noticed this and have started buying assets in the UK. So you're seeing a pickup in M&A activity in the UK, but more than anything, you're seeing a pickup in expectations of domestically focused UK corporations. So they expect M&A to pick up. So a lot more international corporations buying into the UK, which again tells, you know, there are signs of a recovery taking place. So again, while it's probably inconclusive at this stage, all the signs are there that there is a shift in the fortunes for UK domestically focused stocks.
I think that'll be good for our listeners to hear about. Kind of moving on a bit onto the commodities market, what's kind of behind and the driving factor behind soaring commodity prices that we're seeing at the moment?
Yeah, so that's something which has taken a lot of investors by surprise. So I think the recent upside in commodities as a whole has been driven by both supply factors, particularly in the case of oil, also to some extent demand factors, because global growth is still healthy. But, you know, in particularly when we focus on, I'll say the supply constraints being OPEC plus, or the cartel, they've remained in place. So there have been cuts in production, which have remained in place. There's also elevated risks to further escalation in the Middle Eastern conflict, which again is something oil tends to be quite sensitive to whenever there are any kind of conflicts in the Middle East. If we look into industrial metals, for example, the slight difference there is that China's recent improvement in the economic outlook has certainly helped industrial metals recover. But there we would probably caution being overly optimistic on China's recovery, simply because all things are not great when it comes to Chinese economy right now. Doesn't mean that can't change in a few years' time. But if we look at that economy, all else equals, we don't have high conviction in how sustainable the growth is. If we then look at precious metals like gold, for example, which has been one of the best performing assets since the end of last year, we've seen traditional investors often looking at gold as a form of safe haven. So whenever there's conflict, they tend to rush into it because gold tends to provide some form of insulation against geopolitical risks. But there are also large amounts of central banks buying, Chinese central banks, but also other emerging market central banks have been lowering their dollar exposure and buying oil. But you're also seeing consumers in emerging market countries like Turkey and other regions buying a lot of oil. And perhaps it's also worth noting that when it comes to commodities, we don't tend to, you know, be very tactical. We do have commodities exposures in most of our portfolios, primarily due to diversification properties against inflation and things such as geopolitical risks.
Yeah, very useful to add that as well in terms of how we're kind of positioning portfolios as a whole and making sure they're diversified with lots of different asset classes in there. I think that's everything that we wanted to cover today. So thanks, Francis, for running everyone through that. And we'll see you on next week's edition.
Thank you, Sophie.
All investments can fall as well as rise in value, and their past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance. This podcast is not a personal investment recommendation.